Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Talk Star Wars, episode 133. I'm your host, Rob.
And I'm Brad.
Oh, I keep doing that. I'm sorry. You're a host, too.
It's fine.
I don't know. It's just...
No, I'm not. I'm just a salacious crumb to your... Oh, that just makes you sound fat, doesn't it?
It just makes me feel bad. I've had one of those weeks where I've been eating terribly, so that doesn't... It unfortunately hits quite close to home without intending to.
I'm just for Zuckers to your forelomb.
There you go. And it's never quite clear which one's which. Yeah. Depending on who you speak to. How you been? You all right?
Yeah, good. Really good. You?
Yeah, it's been a rough day, but otherwise we're a little bit late starting than usual just because of life getting in the way. It happens.
We do.
But I did get a chance to watch the more Battlestar on the way home, so I'm happy with that.
Oh, good stuff.
It's so good. It's so good.
Not here.
No, I'm up to like episode 9 of series 1 and it's ramping up at a nice pace in terms of I'm enjoying the intrigue of it all. So
okay, cool.
And it's very good in that respect.
Yeah. So, of course, this is the second Star Wars show you and I have recorded this week.
This is true. So we did, it'll probably be out shortly after this drops or like within a few.
It's almost finished at my end, so sometime next week. So it seems
within a week of this dropping, for sure.
Yeah.
We did an episode of Fire When Ready together.
Yeah, it was your first 14. Time playing Legion.
Yes, it was my first time playing Legion.
Did you enjoy yourself?
I did very much.
Yeah.
It played... just enough like 40k to be fun, but not so much that I was overwhelmed with stuff, which is kind of the highest praise.
For me, it kind of felt like playing with Star Wars action figures, which is all I wanted.
Yeah, which is kind of, I'm sure, what everybody wanted from it deep down in any kind of meaningful way. But yeah, it was a good game. Hopefully people will enjoy the video when it drops. It'll be on E14 and then it will shortly be afterwards on Talk Star Wars.
Yeah, you know, I'll definitely get another game in anyway.
Oh, too right. I'm going to have to. Anyway, let's talk some Star Wars that we've been sent.
Okay, cool.
Rather than the stuff we organised for ourselves.
Just received this box of Star Wars. It's like Battlefront.
How strange. How strange.
Every day they tell me to open this crate, which contains nothing useful.
So according to this, according to the notes in front of me, it is 482 days until episode 9 drops. I'm not going to drop that in every week because it's going to drop down.
Sleep.
Yeah, it's not going to... I'm not going to do that every week, do the countdown, because it will feel agonizing. But every now and then, I'm just going to drop the date in there just so we can get excited. So, and I think Solo Home Release drops in about a month as well.
It's got to be almost 3 months since release, so I'd imagine so. They tend to go 12 weeks, don't they?
Yeah, I think it's, if I remember rightly, it's the 25th of September on physical media, and then the week before on... digital.
That seems a bit later than I'd expect, if anything.
It could be. Maybe they learned their lesson and decided to space it out from Infinity War.
Yeah.
Which I believe is either dropped or is about to drop.
In the UK, it came out this week.
Is that physical and digital?
Definitely digital. I don't know about physical.
I was going to say, I've seen digital. I'm not sure about I've physical. Mm-hmm. I haven't. Last time I checked in the shop was before the weekend and they didn't have it then. Mm-hmm. But if it's just come out this week, that would happen, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
That's how that works. Weekends. That's
how space and time works.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Causality and all that. Mm-hmm. Anyway, our first listener message this week comes from Vesuvi, who writes.
No!
I know. Shocked. I was as surprised as you, which is to say, not very.
Is she always the first one to write in, or is there a bit of ranking going
it's
on?
It's not uncommon for her to be first. She is usually first to write in, if not, you know, just misses out.
Yeah, okay. Maybe it's a time zone thing.
It could be. Yeah, I think she listens fairly early on in the day. So, you know, because I think it drops Monday morning here, which means it might be Sunday night in the States. I'm not sure. I forget whereabouts. She has told us before where she's based, and I can't remember off the top of my head, but she potentially, it might be last thing on a Sunday, so she might listen to it before bed or first thing Monday morning. Who knows? She might be a night owl. Who knows? Vesuvi, write in. I mean, like I need to tell you, but... Vesuvi writes, thanks, Rob. Thanks, Brad.
You're welcome, Vesuvi.
I deliberated for seconds and seconds whether or not I should reply to the remark about the acting coach being brought on during the Solo shoot. This should really be clarified. It was the naysaying internet contingent that took that report and turned it into questioning and maligning Alden Ehrenreich's performing abilities. That is not accurate at all.
She's defending Solo again.
I know. Doesn't need to.
Let it go.
You're with friends.
Let me go at Chinatown. All right. How do you talk about my man that way? No one else is lagging off Solo, Vesuvi. It's all right. Everyone here likes Solo.
Yeah.
Please calm down. It's all okay.
I think it's one of those things in written word. It's you know. Anyway, that is not accurate at all about the. That's about Ordinary Reich having problems with his acting, which was there's a rumor that was doing the rounds. I think that's I think that's all we said, but maybe we put a bit of a tinge on it. Maggie Kiely was brought in for 2 weeks as a resource for the directors and the entire cast, not Mr. Ehrenreich specifically. Anyone who's seen a broad swathe of Mr. Ehrenreich's work, which I have, cannot question his talent. Please let's not get into the habit of validating web negativity. Reject the dark side. Embrace the light side. Make Yoda's ghost proud. Also, about the world between worlds. It was set up to be a difficult, nearly impossible realm to access, thus preventing it from becoming a plot crutch. That's a relief. And I think it's safe to say the portals allow observation and interaction with different points in time, but it doesn't allow anything to be changed so much as it makes possible the formation of a casual loop, often referred to as a bootstrap paradox. So basically, if an event hasn't already happened a certain way, it's not going to be modified. If canon changes that someday, I'll eat my words. Lastly, I so loved your discussion on the different music over the course of the movies, and I wanted to confirm for Brad that, yes, the Death Star flourish from A New Hope was absolutely referenced in Rogue One. It's one of those moments that thrilled me beyond expression. Won't rest until Lapti Nek is recanonized. Old Aunt Vesuvi. Yeah. So Aunt Vesuvi has very kindly included a Vanity Fair article from April about the acting coach in question, and then a YouTube link to Lapti Nek just for fun. So, Vesuvi, thank you very much, as always, for that. I feel like that's a relief, the world between worlds not being too easy to get to.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. I'm kind of...
It's like a closed loop. They did it for... I talked to Hans and Rebels. If they did it for whatever they needed to do with Rebels and then just leaving it, then...
Yeah,
a self-contained story. I'm good kind of that. Okay with that.
Absolutely, likewise.
Ehrenreich's acting coach, all right, if he was just for set, was just for set acting coach, that's fine. To be honest, if Ehrenreich had an acting coach brought in specifically for Solo, I really don't care because the end result is all I really care about. I honestly don't care how much work was involved in getting the finished product.
Yeah.
So long as the finished product was a good one, which it was.
Yeah, he did.
It calmed down.
For my money, I thought he did. Everybody was really excited about Donald Glover as Lando. And he did a good job. So don't mistake this for a knock on Donald Glover because he did an absolutely fine job. But I felt like Alden Ehrenreich did a better job of making the character his own in subtle ways, whereas I felt like Donald Glover was a bit like LARPing Billy Dee Williams.
At times.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not in any, it doesn't ruin the film, but he felt like he was playing a part. Yeah, he felt like he was playing a part rather than, making the character his own in any kind of meaningful way. I might be, maybe okay. I'm being unfair. I don't know, but that's kind of how I felt at the end of the movie, because
Ehrenreich was so good, there were moments you forgot, right?
Yeah, totally. He was brilliant. I really thought he was great. And, I must confess to not being fantastically familiar with his work. I've seen a little bit of a film that he was in, which I think was called Beautiful Creatures, and he played a kind of young, awkward schoolboy who befriended a girl, and then it turned out they were the family was wizards or something. It had some sort of magic element to it.
Okay.
And I remember watching what I saw of that, he was really good in. That's all I'm familiar with. I don't have any he's in Hail Caesar, and I hear he's very good in that.
Okay.
But I've never actually seen it myself.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. But that's the limit of my familiarity with his acting chops before Solo. Obviously I'm, not even converted, but I am a believer now, which is interesting. Funnily enough, one of the things I've been doing recently is I've been going back through and clearing out my email inboxes, which sounds really boring, but it's actually very cathartic. I don't know if you've experienced this. Mm-hmm. And one of the Talk Star Wars inbox in particular had scarcely been pruned. So there was a lot of stuff going back years. So I was working my way through it, and I found the moment where we all learned that it was going to be Alden Ehrenreich, and everybody was kind of a little bit, they were sort of pleased that it had been decided, but they're all a little bit disappointed or that it wasn't Anthony Ingruber, who at the time was kind of, he was a bit of a cult favorite because he'd done, he played young Harrison Ford in a movie.
Yeah.
I forget what movie it was, but Harrison Ford was in the movie and then he had a sort of flashback and he played the young Harrison Ford. And also he just had a video, I think, go viral because he did really good impressions of people like Robin Williams and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I think Robin Williams had actually potentially just passed away when the video came out, or maybe it just resurfaced. And the guy had a really good Robin Williams impression and everybody sort of glommed onto it. And he became, that combined with the appearance as young Harrison Ford in a movie, made everybody, it was a small but vocal minority who wanted him instead of the other candidates. Because it was between Alden Ehrenreich, Taron Egerton from Kingsman,
yeah,
and a third actor whose name escapes me.
Chris Pratt got thrown around, but I don't know if that was ever actually seriously considered.
I think that was one. Yeah, I don't know if that was one of those ones, because I know he was also thrown around for Indiana Jones reboot, wasn't he?
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think of a third guy. I'm sure it was something to do with Transformers. A character, somebody who played a character in Transformers, in one of the Transformers movies.
Volkswagen Beetle.
Yeah, it was. Yeah,
based on a Volkswagen Beetle, and wish it the best of luck.
Exactly. You know, and Chewbacca just kind of hangs out the side like a sidecar.
Yeah. The only reason it didn't get it is it was very hard to reverse it into a Falcon's cockpit.
Well, this is the trouble, isn't it? And, you know, they said, well, we were going to put Lando in yellow as well. So this is a bit like, you know, it's basic optometry. Yeah. It just can't work.
Yeah.
So it's a shame, really. But, you know.
Starscream standing at the back convinced this was his moment to shine. But it ended up going to Adam, right?
So, I'd say he was... I'm really glad he got the part, and I'm, you know, whatever they had, whatever, irrespective to, as you say, as you rightly point out, irrespective of what they had to do to make it work, it worked. So it doesn't really matter. And the same way as, you know, extensive reshoots and second unit photography on Rogue One doesn't matter because the films are blinding. It's in both our top threes, I think.
Yeah. I mean, I do love that there's, in some ways, I love there's more transparency between filmmaking at the moment, because if you're interested in that sort of thing, it's a wonderful way of learning about it. And especially if you want to get into the industry, it's wonderful to have that kind of resources available to you.
Mm-hmm.
But I do worry for more casual fans, including me, that it feels a bit like giving away a magic trick sometimes.
See how the sausage is made.
Yeah, it is. You get so many, like, oh, the different drafts and stuff we went through. It doesn't matter how many drafts it went through. It's a finished product. So
yeah.
It really matters.
Yeah, it's true.
I think we've obviously got something like Star Wars, literally every word gets overanalyzed by all the pop culture.
Yeah, absolutely. And it speaks to our culture generally, I think, because, you know, we've become a society who's very much interested from day one in something because, you know, if you look at things like crowdfunding projects and Kickstarters and things like that, you get in from the ground up and you see, you know, that there's sort of a lot of transparency, as you say, about the process, and people are constantly looking to get insight into how things work behind the scenes and that sort of thing. I think it does create a lot of armchair experts. And I'm not talking just people who do what like we do and just kind of talk about stuff, but I'm talking about people who, you know, I remember once on Reddit, I saw a thread that made me kind of, it sort of galvanized it for me as to exactly what my problem is with it. It was somebody who wrote, I took a basic HTML class in college before dropping out. Let me tell you how web design works. It was that kind of attitude, you know.
Yeah.
I've read somebody talk about it on the internet, so I know what's going on, even though they might be lying.
Yeah,
they might be completely talking out of their ear.
Gavin did our band's MySpace page.
Yeah, exactly. It's one of those things where I feel like it's created a lot of this kind of faux, this level of kind of faux knowledge that some people, to be fair, those kind of people who get a kick out of that stuff are going to find something else anyway. So it doesn't really matter that much. But it's just, I suppose, a way things have changed over the years. Before, we used to have a lot more secrecy about these things and the magic was kind of protected a bit. But at the same time, it's good because it lowers the barrier to entry. It means that more people know enough to get their own projects going to a good standard. And I think overall, it means that stuff is generally better.
Mm-hmm.
But in the end, you know, And yeah, as I say, to Vasubi's other point, I'm pleased that the World Between Worlds stuff is not designed to just be a retconning device, and I hope it stays that way, because I'd very much say time travel for me is always a dicey one. There's only a, I can count on one hand the number of time travel properties I enjoy, and it's
Futurama,
Donnie Darko, Terminator, I guess. Yeah. There's a bit of that. That's about it, really, off the top of my head. I'd have to think about it. I might be able to come up with more, but off the top of my head, those are the only ones.
Back to the Future, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, Back to the Future's got a couple of pretty good movies out of it. You know, they've done all right.
It's perfectly enjoyable family comedy, I think.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But there you go. So, Vasubi, thank you for those comments and for the links as well. They're in the show notes if people want to click through and take a look at the Vanity Fair article that sort of sums up the whole process and the YouTube video of Lapty Neck. So enjoy both of those. Did you want to read the next one from Dicos Desperado?
Sure. Okay. Lapty Neck's the one with all the kettle drums, not kettle drums, the steel drums in it, isn't it?
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah. Dicos Desperado. Greetings, gents. 132 was another great episode I thoroughly enjoyed. Well, we enjoyed making it as well.
Yeah, we did.
I'm just editorializing as I go. You mentioned the different explanations of the Force in A New Hope and The Phantom Menace. I actually like to think the Force is a combination of both of these views. I think the Force is an energy field that can be manipulated by those who are trained to do so, but I also believe a person's midichlorian level influences their ability to do so. I think every living creature has at least some level of midichlorians in them. The more midichlorians they have, the easier it is for them to use the Force. Those with high levels, such as Anakin and Rey, can use the Force quite easily with little or no training. Of course, training will make them stronger in the Force, but they start out quite strong. Others with fewer midichlorians, like Luke, must train hard to do things that would come easily to those with high levels of midichlorians. Then there are those with a very low level of midichlorians who would have to train for years, so perhaps be able to do something very minor. I'm interested in hearing your thoughts on this. May the Force be with you, DD.
I feel like this is something that used to be canon. The fact that everybody has midichlorians in them has always been canon, and I think still is.
Just to clarify, when I said I kind of preferred the original trilogy, kind of a more spiritual look at the Force, I didn't mean to dismiss midichlorians by saying that.
Sure.
If anything, I'm in complete agreement with Mr. Desperado. It's I think they both, they're not mutually exclusive. They fit together fine. I'm pretty much on the same page as we don't need to be formal. I'm on the same page as Diecast for pretty much all of this, to be honest. Yeah,
yeah, just I think that's
general,
fair.
There's general agreement.
My only thing with it is it's the thing about midichlorians and just having high numbers equals better is it opens the door to potentially being lazier with your storytelling. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Okay.
So you can just be like, dismiss things as, oh, well, you know, more numbers. If somebody can do something they shouldn't necessarily, I don't know. Ultimately, it always comes back to Rey, doesn't it? The notion that she's able to do all this stuff without really being, you know, until The Last Jedi at least, without really understanding how it's happening or how it works or any of it works. Mm-hmm. She's able to just do this stuff and, you know, if it's a midichlorian explanation, that's fine, but you could do with dropping it in there somewhere. I don't mind, you know, I can deal with a facile explanation if I actually hear it, whereas if you just don't throw it in there and assume that I'm wrong for even questioning, that's where I kind of object, because it's a little bit, you know, I'm not expecting every single minor plot point to be explained, because the film would take 6 hours to do. But
you know, might do anyway, yeah.
Well, quite possibly, especially in the case of episode 9. But I think it doesn't take much to explain key points, and you should be looking to explain away those key points just to cover your bases. And to, you know, they did a bit of it in Last Jedi with the whole Dark Rises and the Light to Meet It thing. But what that didn't explain for me is why the first time she was, I mean, the Anakin thing, the Dark Rises and Light to Meet It doesn't quite fit either, because the Sith have always been there in episode one. They've just shown their face for the first time in millennia.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the idea is they've been an underground movement for, let's say, thousands of years.
Exactly. You know, and so they've always been there, and there's always been two. So the you can't imagine, you know, maybe the power's been building slowly over time, and Anakin's kind of using the Force reflexively, if at all, you know, arguably. Well, I suppose it's kind of the fact that he's the only human who can do pod racing. But and yeah, he's also like...
It's manifested as his prescience almost, isn't it? He's got that, he can see things before they happen.
Yes, yes.
Is that because of what he does that's noticeable? You know, he likes pod racing and likes and fancies the idea of flying, so that's how his Force talents have developed to allow him to do those easier. If he was interested in some combat, for the sake of argument, would his combat reflexes have developed?
Yeah, would he just be the best pit fighter?
Is it like when you play guitar, your fingers build up calluses? Is it because he's pod racing, his reflexes have been enhanced by the Force?
Yeah. So, and I feel like they could have, they did a little bit of that, well, that kind of character building with Rey, but I didn't feel like they did enough of it. That's my kind of contention with it, is they did little things to touch on, to allude to that stuff, but it would have been, it wouldn't have taken much to make it more apparent, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's so, and the other thing, I find the idea that Luke, I find it difficult to believe that Luke had significantly lower midichlorians than Anakin. I realize Anakin was the strongest, you know, the strongest level
midichlorians. Yeah,
but Luke should have at least half that.
Yeah, no, I agree. Luke seems not one to choose as not having, any midichlorians, but. I don't know, I don't know as much canon material in terms of seeing Luke between Sith and A New Hope, is there?
I'm not aware of. No.
No, maybe a couple of journals of Ben Kenobi, which you might have been background, or I might be thinking of the old robot Darth Maul one.
Maybe. He's glimpsed, isn't he, in Rebels, in Twin Suns. You see in the background. But that's about it, really.
That story's not centered around Luke, so we don't know yet if there were signs of a Force manifesting in him as a child, and its reflexes were enhanced due to his interest in building things and piloting things.
Might have explained why Luke was so good at winding.
Well, no, but he was he was a pilot, wasn't he?
He was not such a bad pilot, yeah. He was.
So maybe the Force was enhancing his pilot abilities, because, I mean, there's a deleted scene in A New Hope which references it, and I think it actually happens in the radio drama of A New Hope, where he does fly through Beggar's Canyon. It's like the stunts he pulls off, no one can match. So that's kind of, was obviously echoed later in Anakin's pod racing ability, so maybe the Force did enhance his abilities as a pilot, which led to him being able to take the shot on the Death Star.
I can swing with that explanation for Rey as well, in the same way as, like, she's a scavenger and she's a sort of, you know, survivor, and she's capable in hand-to-hand combat and stuff, so that's survival reflexes, you know, slightly amplified. But it's just that jump from, you know, with Anakin it's kind of, it takes a decade, and he's the chosen one.
Yeah.
With Rey, it takes 20 minutes, and she's no one, turns out. Well, as far as we know, at least. You know what I mean? Yeah. There's that incongruity that doesn't quite
gel. Prior to Last Jedi, I was pretty convinced there was going to be a storyline reason for it, and there may yet be, because, like I say, the vast majority of Last Jedi, I do think will stick. I certainly don't think Disney are going to remake it.
No.
So I think the vast majority will stick, and I don't even know that they'll walk stuff back in 9. Walking stuff back is too heavy a term, but I think we may see an echo of a certain point of view make a return.
Maybe.
We may be misinterpreting or misreading something in Last Jedi. It may not, you know, Ryan Johnson might have intended it on face value, and it's, and JJ's taken another spin with it, and that's fine. That's collaborative storytelling.
Yeah. And then the Ryan's trilogy will just be three movies of the Star Wars characters encountering the Star Trek characters from JJ's remake and just massacring them.
Yeah. I mean, I'll be down for that.
And then at the end, it's the fourth wall thing. You just cut to Ryan Johnson's director's chair. He spins around and goes, any questions? That's assuming it has the ending Star Wars thing, actually. That's a big assumption to make, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Ryan Johnson's trilogy. Probably won't. Because this one's his last, John Williams' last movie. They'll probably bring something else in.
I can't remember if Solo and Rogue One did or not.
I don't know. I think they, I feel like they did. But I'd have to go back and check. If I wait a month, I'll find out when Solo comes out. I'll be all over that.
I honestly cannot remember. I might have to.
No.
Oh, no. I'll watch Rogue One again. What a horrible world.
Woe is us.
Yeah.
Your third favourite Star Wars movie. Woe is you.
Yeah.
And we know that because we did our ranking last week for those who.
Yes. According to our research polls, everyone's. Going on the small sample we took, Rogue One is everyone's third favourite Star Wars movie.
This is true. We did get a lot of good feedback about that episode, by the way.
Okay, cool.
Everybody seemed to really like our the process of coming up with the list, even if they didn't necessarily have the same list.
You very rarely meet someone with the same list as you. So
it's true, and that's a good thing.
Like I said in the last episode, I'd love to meet someone who's got a complete inverse of my list because, it really doesn't matter because we all have.
But that would be interesting.
So you think Attack of the Clones is the best one?
Yeah. So you think Last Jedi is second best and Clone Wars animated third, eh?
Yeah.
Wow.
That's quite something. According to prior research, everyone has Rogue One as the third best one.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. But yeah, we had some good feedback. So thank you to everybody who sent us nice messages about that episode. It was much appreciated. And obviously, you know, we're glad to do so. But anyway, yeah, so going back to the midichlorian thing, it's...
Yes.
I don't know. I'm with you. I think Mr. Desperadue has got the right idea on this one.
Don't miss a formal. We can call him Diecast.
Diecast is fine.
So maybe it's Mr. Die.
Maybe, yeah. Well, right in. I mean, again, you know, you're adept at this, so we don't need to tell you. We'd like to know, you know, how best to address you, sir. So
yes.
Please let us know what you'd prefer to be referred to as. Diecast, Mr. Desperado, Mr. DD.
Desperdie.
Yeah.
Despercast, I don't know. That sounds like a podcast.
It does a bit, doesn't it? It's like, please listen to me. And I feel like I've come close to that episode a few times. I feel like, in kind of connected materials, not so much in the films or anything like that, they've kind of established that somebody like Han Solo has, you know, there's a standard kind of base limit for your average sentient creature, so a sort of humanoid or a sort of, you know, sentient alien. And then people like Han Solo might have slightly more than that because he's lucky, you know, he pulls off lucky shots and things like that, that sort of thing. Whereas somebody who's got no luck in life at all and that sort of thing might have next to none or whatever, or use it poorly. That's also possible, I guess. The only thing that sticks out for me in this one is the idea that Luke would have to train significantly harder than Rey. It doesn't quite work for me. You know, even if Rey is a descendant of the Skywalker bloodline, it's diluted by then, surely.
Oh yeah, I got derailed there. I really was convinced there was going to be some sort of explanation for Rey being super powered. Like, I thought I was one of the people thinking, oh, she was from a Jedi school and she's lost her memory for whatever reason. But obviously, I wasn't right.
Currently, that is the impression we are supposed to take. So, it remains to be seen whether this might prove to bear fruit. My initial thinking as to why it must is because what is that flashback with the Knights of Ren about in episode 7?
I've said a couple of weeks back, everyone's forgotten about the Knights of Ren.
Yeah. Yeah, hopefully JJ, even just to bring them back as Kylo's answer to the Praetorian Guard, his kind of personal, you know, he can send them out on missions to find people and stuff, and they're just kind of his Ronin. You know, that would be something, but at the moment we've got nothing to show for it at all. One cool shot in the rain of loads of different really interesting looking characters, and then nothing. you know. I don't know what to make of it all, but...
it's an unfired Chekhov's gun, yeah?
Indeed, and hopefully in episode 9 there's a bit more to it. But let's say, I'd very much like there to be... I'm okay with there being Ray being the child of nobody in particular, but I would appreciate an explanation as to how she came to be so kind of have so much potential in the Force, because the idea of her just being a counterbalance, I can sort of swing with it to a point, but it doesn't quite explain the rest of the saga, which in places has been very much not the case, that it's just a seesaw.
Okay.
Yeah. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, thank you, Diecast, for that message. I say we're very much in agreement with you on that one, so hopefully that's reassuring to you. Our next message comes from Arthur, and Arthur writes, "Hello, gents. Been thinking about episode 9.
We all have.
Yeah, indeed. Wondering aloud if Disney should or will end the Skywalkers. All the evidence so far suggests they will, but..." Arthur continues, "Disney will be opening two new theme parks just as they end the sagas. I feel like this would be foolish from a financial point of view, not so much a story point of view. Would it be wise of them to discontinue the storyline of what is the foundation of Star Wars? I feel like JJ will end the movie with the Skywalkers somehow in play. This may mean Rey pregnant or Kylo still alive. This does not mean it should, but financially they might consider it. We've seen Force-back visions in the world between worlds now. Maybe Vader or Anakin shows up somehow to connect this trilogy." I really hope not. "This trilogy has seemed disconnected with a lack of lacked a vision or congruency. We've seen Kylo worship and ask Vader for help. Could he appear to Kylo? Could he appear initially as Vader and change to Anakin? I think hearing Vader or Anakin speak about light and dark, good and evil, would help give some connectivity. I'm not sure I want Kylo redeemed, but maybe he ends the movie seeing the error of his ways, but goes off on his own conflicted. Just some thoughts. I continue to enjoy the show. Arthur." Well, Arthur, thank you very much for writing in on this one. What do you make of the idea of seeing Vader in some form in episode 9?
I don't know how that would work.
So there was an
original... Everyone seems to be quite the same Force ghosts, and I think that ship sailed.
Originally in episode 7, there was a scene that was talked about that was never shot of Kylo seeing Anakin stroke Vader as a force ghost.
What? Oh, sorry. That's right. I thought you meant stroke.
No, sorry, Well, technically, you know, if he's kind of awkwardly standing there waiting for somebody to talk and he's just kind of awkwardly rubbing his own arm, that's kind of Anakin stroking Vader, isn't it?
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
Yeah, well, you know. So there was supposed to be this kind of scene that was going to play out. I think it was to appear to Kylo, or that may have been to appear to Rey, actually, of Anakin. And whenever he got angry... whenever the ghost showed any kind of emotional ramping up, he would kind of morph into Vader. You know, he would sort of his face would kind of warp and distort, and it would take the sort of the shape of the helmet, if you pardon the expression. I was kind of interested to see it, and then it never happened, and I was sort of okay. Well, that's fine. That's one way they could make it work. The only thing. This is the thing that always, I realize it's Wizards in Space, but it's one of those things that always bugs me about ghosts in movies. Is that for me, I suppose I'm coming at it too scientifically, but emotions are brain chemistry. Mm-hmm. So the notion that a ghost leaves this mortal plane with any kind of emotional baggage I can't reconcile it in my head because they need to, like I say, people go out kind of neutral as far as my brain can reconcile. So the idea that a ghost would be an angry ghost outside of, say, Casper, obviously his counterbalancing spirit rather than him himself. I'm going somewhere with this. The idea of, you know, say a ghost who can become angry and sort of change shape and stuff, I think it would look good on a visual level, but I would struggle with it.
I think that's exactly why that never made it any further than the concept art stage.
Yeah.
It was concept art because it looked good, and then they couldn't do anything with it other than that.
Yeah, maybe. It's, and then the other thing as well is, why would Vader appear to Kylo? Because Anakin was redeemed at the end of Jedi. It doesn't really, it doesn't wash for me. I always kind of liked the idea that... Sorry, go on.
So I just feel like if Anakin was going to make his presence known as a Force ghost, he's left it a bit late.
I would agree.
Where was he when Snoke was trying to turn Kylo Ren to the dark side?
That's what I wondered. I thought it would have been cool if they could have established that Kylo was seeing Vader, but it was actually Snoke tricking him, you know, using trickery.
Oh, I quite like that. That works. Yeah,
that was sort of something I was really hoping they were going to play
Snoke off. Kids?
Yeah, exactly, yeah. You know, it would have been one of those... little things like that, I think, would have softened the blow of him being dispatched ahead of time.
Yeah.
You know, obviously, they subverted our expectations in episode 8. And that particular aspect of it, I'm really glad they did, because it was cool. You know, it was a real, genuine shock, like a gut punch shock. And I really liked that about it. But I would have liked a few little things to kind of make it clear that Snoke was crafty, you know?
Yeah, I agree.
Because as far as, you know, in terms of all we really got, in episode 8, he goes, what, you thought you were talking on the phone? That was me. I set that up. I gave you both phones.
Yeah,
I set up the Force Skype. That was me, that was. What's that in my stomach? You know what I mean? It didn't quite land in terms of epicness. And the fact that he was throwing people around like nobody's business and then...
Yeah.
Just kind of dispatched that weekly.
One thing I will say, though, obviously, Luke force projects to Crait. And dies as a result, because it's established earlier in dialogue, Kylo Ren says something like, how are you doing, Mr. Strain? We'll kill you.
Yep.
So does that imply that Snoke is more powerful than Luke?
Well, I don't know. You know, whether he's done it, I don't know what it requires to set up the connection versus to project from so far away. I wonder if it's one of those things. I'm trying to think of a good analogy. If you bug something,
like a Wi-Fi extender.
This is what I'm wondering, right? So I'm trying to think of an analogy that works in a technological sense, because that's where my sort of brain lies. It's like if you bug somebody's. You put a bug on somebody's coat, right? One of those little transmitter things that, you know, you're able to hear what they're saying, and they do the same thing to you. That requires a minimal amount of effort at the interim to set it up, and then it's, as long as you stay in range, it always works.
Yeah, okay.
Luke's thing is more like Skyping into a room when he's not there with no computer.
Okay, I gotcha.
Do you know what I mean? Like, it's a weird. Yeah. I say it's the best analogy I can come up with on the fly. But yeah. I feel like it sort of works.
We're kind of convey X-ing off here. Anakin in episode 9. It bugs me, because I said one of the problems I have with episode is, for me, the 9 movies are Anakin's story.
Yeah,
he's the central thing. And one of the problems I have with 8. And again, I don't hate Last Jedi. I liked a lot of Last Jedi and had problems with some bits in it. Every time, because you cannot express any opinion on Last Jedi, positive or negative, without starting an argument. Whatever you say about Last Jedi is grounds for starting an argument.
Anyway, that's how device.
Yeah. One of the problems I had with Last Jedi was Anakin's shadow was not felt strongly enough.
Did they even mention him? They mentioned him. Yeah,
between 7 and 8, Kylo Ren's no longer obsessed with Darth Vader.
Yeah. He's like, it's all it takes is for Snoke to say, you're not as good as Vader. And he's like, oh, forget it then.
Yeah.
Like, what happened? That was strongly held conviction.
Just rips.
Yeah, it just seems like, you know, those convictions were clearly held very strongly. Like, I'm obsessed with living up to his legacy. And he's like, you're not as good as him. It's like, oh, forget it then. Like, good job, Kylo. Really, way to stick out the landing.
Yeah.
I like the fact that he's gone his own way and actually done things that Vader couldn't do, like break out of the spell of his master while also remaining sort of dark, something Vader didn't manage to do. So I like the fact they've kind of taken him in a different direction. And for me, he's very compelling as a result. I want to know what happens next, specifically to him. I'm actually less interested in what happens to the Resistance characters. He's the one I'm interested in finding out more about.
Really?
Okay. Yeah, I don't know why that is. It's just there was no... I don't know what it is about it. There's something about Last Jedi, the way Last Jedi ends, that doesn't... It's one of the things that doesn't quite land for me. It's just there's no... Kylo is interesting to me now, more mm-hmm. so than he was. Rey is a little more because she's actually got, like I say, she got a bit of character development and a bit more exploration of her strengths and weaknesses in Episode 8.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm a bit more invested in her than I was.
Mm-hmm.
But Finn, I don't know.
Finn's... Yeah, I know what you mean. I don't think he was used correctly in 8.
No. And then like Poe, I can sort of see his trajectory. And obviously, even though it was always going to lead towards him becoming kind of taking the Leia place, I feel like they're going to kind of have to strong arm that one in a bit more now. Mm. And then there's Rose. She's probably going to take a largely similar trajectory to Finn. So it's hard to really kind of... I don't know. I'm finding it hard to drum up enthusiasm. This is maybe that's the bit about Last Jedi, the bit that doesn't stick the landing for me at the end is I'm not, you know, at the end of Empire, I want the rebels to come back and fight and win. Yeah. But at the end of Last Jedi, they've made so many choices and had so much just go. It's not even that. By the end, I'm not that invested in their success as I should be. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if that's just because, you know, as an older viewer, I'm more cynical, or maybe I take more of an interest in the development of the characters on the other side of the aisle. So maybe I'm a bit more invested in the First Order's kind of internal, I'm expecting a bit more of a Rome style power struggle.
Yeah.
I don't know whether that's it, you know, but something about the way Episode 8 ends just doesn't make me excited for their plight in Episode 9.
Yeah, I do know what you mean, because Empire definitely ends with how they're going to get Han back.
Yeah.
The initial shock, obviously, is Darth Vader telling the truth about being Luke's father.
Yeah.
There's not that drive. There's not, it's all because 8 hasn't really set a quest up like Empire did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's no real...
Eight ends with the downbeat tone of Attack of the Clones and Empire.
Yeah.
But it doesn't have... Attack of the Clones ends on a downer, followed by the Clone Wars is happening. That's full of adventure and excitement, which we know Jedi don't crave, but here we go.
We're not Jedi, though. We're allowed.
Empire ends on a downer, but we've got to get Han. We've got to find out the truth about Luke and Vader. Do we trust Lando? What's going to happen to, you know, obviously back then going, what's going to happen to Luke and Leia with Han out the picture now?
Yeah.
There's potential coming out. Empire, as you said, ends on a downer, but there is that tone of we can only go up from here.
Yeah.
There's things to do. There's things to quest for.
Yeah.
And Last Jedi ends on that downer, but it doesn't have that hope.
Yeah.
It needs.
No, it has Broomboy though, so that's good. You know.
Yeah, it's got that bit, I suppose, but that's so far removed from...
Maybe that's it. Yeah, it's just, yeah. It's disconnected from the... It's disconnected from the sort of the core narrative. It's a separate thing.
It's the only film where the final shot isn't of the core characters.
Yeah, it's very odd that that's the case. And it's, you know,
Phantom Menace ends on the ensemble cast.
Yep.
Attack of the Clones ends on Anakin and Padme.
Yep.
Sith ends on Luke Skywalker.
Yep.
A New Hope ends on ensemble cast. Empire ends on ensemble cast. Jedi ends on
ensemble cast.
Yeah. And Force Awakens ends on Luke Skywalker. So it's the first movie that doesn't end on a central character.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe there's something in that. I don't know, Boba Fett and Dengar's baby.
Maybe. Yeah, why not? Yeah. Who knows? But Arthur, thank you for your thoughts on
Boba Fett. Yeah.
Yeah. Before we finish this one off, do you think ending the Skywalker saga with Episode 9 makes business sense?
I don't think Disney will care about that. Disney is, firstly, let's not forget Disney and Lucasfilm are separate entities. Sure. It's just one owns the other.
Yeah, that's true.
Lucasfilm is concerned with the art. Disney is concerned with the money.
Yep.
I don't think Disney will care how Episode 9 ends, because people will still buy Star Wars stationery and Star Wars action figures and Star Wars T-shirts, and that is what they care about.
True.
It's the same as Disney has no interest whatsoever in what Marvel do in the comics.
True.
They care about selling toys and lunchboxes and T-shirts.
Yeah.
Yeah. The MCU, I think they are more involved with the MCU than they are with Star Wars, because they haven't got that intermediary of Lucasfilm. But again, I don't know that... I think the artists, the writers and the directors and producers are relatively cut loose to do what they want. They can kill characters off in the MCU, and they have done several times.
Mm-hmm.
And Disney don't care. They're still selling the toys. They're still selling the comics. They're still selling books, puzzle and colouring books. That's what Disney would care about. It makes artistic sense to have 9 be the finish, because within most forms of creativity, and especially within writing, there's a rule of 3, which simply states that things are most satisfying in groups of 3, which is why the vast majority of films that become successful end up becoming trilogies. It's why most story arcs are broken down into a beginning, middle, and an end. It's what's most satisfying. So three series of three is perfect. You can stop there. There's no... that's another part of the reason I don't think they'll split 9 into 2 movies. It doesn't make artistic sense to do so.
No, I
don't think Disney's theme park will be affected by how Episode 9 ends, because they'll still just make a theme park.
I'd be inclined to agree, to be honest. I mean, if you look at some of these theme park rides that are themed on movies, I imagine the theme park rides are just as popular after the film has not been announced as having a sequel, if not more so, because there's a sense of, you know, this is our kind of... It might even create a sort of artificial scarcity, you know? Just having, you know, oh, well, this is a place where you can go and sort of see Skywalker saga stuff, and that you can't do that anymore because there's no more films.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously the movies don't catch fire. And if you want to watch your DVDs or Blu-rays or digital copies, you can. But
we'll still get Skywalker saga books and comics and video games. That's not going to go anywhere. It's just I think 9 will, you know, I think 9 will be a satisfying end to the story. I think that's what we all want. I don't think they'll leave it open. I don't think they're going to do more of that saga. They've got enough stuff coming out that they don't need to worry about that.
I would agree. Yeah, I mean, we still don't know what is involved in Rian Johnson's trilogy. We don't know what Benioff and Weiss are doing. We, you know, there are no doubt going to be more creators announced for Star Wars, more directors, more TV projects. There's going to be, it's a whole big universe they're building. You know, much like Marvel with their TV and their movies their stuff kind of interconnected but not sort of jumping on each other's toes unless necessary. Yeah, Star Wars, I think, will probably occupy a similar, will have a similar mindset.
Star Wars will end up being exactly like the expanded universe was, only on a bigger budget.
Yeah, that's probably true.
Which is kind of what we wanted. Back when we were reading the books, we were secretly hoping and thinking, wouldn't it be wonderful if these were TV series or movies?
Gary Sinise was always my Thrawn. I still stick
with that. You and I had a full cast going on.
We did. And, you know, if people want to hear that stuff, maybe pitch us a Legends project and we can go through and do it one day.
Sam Neill was going Billy Bliss.
Yes, he was. And it was a good choice, I thought.
Yeah.
Although I'd be tempted to go with Gerard Butler now as well. He could probably work.
Oh, yeah.
Because he wasn't really a thing when we were doing that. Yeah, before, you know,
that's so true.
We could, you know, I'd say it could be an entertaining project. If people want to hear us cast the Legends, then feel free to chuck some suggestions into the mix. Podcast at talkstarwars.co.uk.
Which Vong would you like Peter Stormare to play?
Well, exactly. You know, which one?
The answer is all of them.
Yeah, exactly. If there's a way to do it, you know, Agent Smith in the Matrix style, and just have him play every single Yuuzhan Vong, then that's doable for me, and I'll make that.
I think, you know, now you've said that, I think I'd Hugo Weaving and Shai Vong La.
That works.
Yeah.
That works really well, actually. Or he'd probably work as Nominor.
We were really good at it, man.
We were pretty good, you know. Yeah. And actually, like I say, now we've probably got more actors to choose from, because so many more have come into prominence that weren't there before.
Yeah, I had Jake and Maggie Gyllenhaal as Jason and Jonah.
That's a good show. Okay,
see if you can figure out which was which.
I think you'd be pleasantly surprised. Yeah, but, you know, like I say, if people want to hear that stuff, then this is the kind
we've
of thing.
Just told
that, yeah, we've just told it. Well, if they want to hear more of them, they want to hear.
You can't stop us.
No, we will just do it anyway. But, you know, if you want to hear something specific, then feel free to reach out.
Yeah, we can probably remember.
Yeah, exactly. You know, so there you go. So those are our listener comments for this week. So what we're going to do is we're going to take a very short break. And when we come back, there's a couple of bits of Star Wars news to talk about. There's been a trailer, Brad.
Yes, of course there's.
Indeed.
You right, felt well. It?
Felt it.
Yeah.
Sure. All right. Back in a few. And we're back. Woo. So the first piece of Star Wars news is one that I left off the show notes because it slipped my mind. But I was a bit of a rush getting everything set up. So, you know, things get missed occasionally, but we're going to talk about it. Richard E. Grant has confirmed he will not, in a shock of shocks, be playing Thrawn in episode 9. I know.
I've heard that.
I know.
That's actually the first time I've heard that news.
Oh, is that really?
And unfortunately, my surprise is contained.
Yeah, I can imagine you were otherwise going to be all over the shop. But so he was speaking to the Radio Times.
Okay.
And get this, right? Have a listen to this.
You say
that, and you're not wrong, because listen to the way they phrase this question. Where is it? They basically literally asked him directly. He'd just been talking about the film he'd just been doing, he's currently doing or had just released. And they said, And how are you preparing for the role of Grand Admiral Thrawn in Star Wars Episode 9? And he just replied very simply, I'm not playing the Star Wars character you just mentioned. I'm not allowed to tell you anything, otherwise I would be fired. It's a complete lockdown on any information whatsoever. Why, you know, we talked about this a bit last week. I don't necessarily think that I think Richard E. Grant deserves something new.
Yeah.
I think he's an actor with a decent pedigree.
People kind of keep throwing around. I've also seen people throw around. I think he's going to be Obi-Wan Kenobi as well.
Yeah, I wasn't on board with that until I saw a picture of him sort of transposed over the top. And it was like, that's not bad, actually. But again, I want him to be somebody else.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't. It's not like. There was no way they could have done the story of the construction and testing of the Death Star without Grand Moff Tarkin. They needed to do something there. Yeah. And honestly, the CG hadn't been, or general technology hadn't been to the quality it was, they would have just recast someone who looked a bit, probably Guy Henry, someone who looked a bit like a younger Peter Cushing, and we'd have all just gone along with it.
Yeah.
Same as we did when Alec Guinness was really dead and they just cast Ewan McGregor and everyone was fine with it.
Sure.
There's no need for Obi-Wan Kenobi to be in 9 to the same extent a story about the Death Star requires Grand Moff Tarkin.
No, it's not. You're right. It's, you know, there's, you can easily tell, you can, you know, not for nothing, but you can replace Obi-Wan Kenobi with pretty much anyone in terms of a force using character and tell the same story, because he's only going to be ethereal form anyway, no matter what you do.
Oh yeah.
We know this because he
unless they go through the world between worlds and just all of the Jedi were killed in Order 66 come back to full life.
I'd rather they didn't do that.
Did you just fire a foghorn off in response to
I did that? Not. That was what we call the speeder bike passing by. And unfortunately, they were quite loud.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a speeder bike, but going in first gear and only first gear. Yeah.
I said that as a joke. Well, I guarantee someone's genuinely pitched it.
Oh, I'm sure.
Deep dive on Reddit.
Absolutely. You know, just this kind of chorus line as well, just dance.
I do want there to be some kind of unification in 9, but it doesn't have to be literal. It can be thematic. That's okay.
Exactly.
I don't have to have Ki-Adi-Mundi turn up back at the end for some sort of sense of closure.
Somebody took in on the Wookiees.
Yeah. Yeah, just a thematic closing, echo stuff, you know, yeah. And carry themes across. That's what needs to be done. I don't need some sort of final resolution for Kitster's backstory, you know.
No, I think we're good.
Which is what a lot of these fan theories kind of boil down to, is just seeming to squeeze in as many characters and nods and mentions as possible. And
yeah.
Then wonder why there's another rumor speculating it's going to split into two movies.
Yeah, this is true. I say the fact that Thrawn was bandied about was only ever.
It's just no room for Gold 2. We're going to have to do two movies.
Yeah. We can't quite get, Vought Klabchek in. Just going to have to shoot, give him his own standalone.
This is a bunch of Star Wars
story. This is exactly, you know, I understand the desire to put cool characters in things, but
yes.
I don't necessarily think that it's the most sensible option.
Well, yeah, totally.
Yes.
Yeah.
Star Wars fans are a bit like, you know, I'm going somewhere with the explanation, so bear with me. They've got a little bit of the wrestling fan to them. If you ask a wrestling fan, who would you want the company to get behind? They'll give you a name and say, what about this person who's also a sort of internet darling? And they'll go, oh, yeah, them too. It's like, well, they can't all be the top, you know, the top dog, can they? Mm. One of them, you have to choose. And it's, you know, it's that kind of, oh, I want, I want Thrawn to be in it. Oh, cool. It's like, what about Obi-Wan Kenobi for Richard? Oh, yeah, Obi-Wan Kenobi would be great. Yeah, what about him? It's like, what about nothing? You can have nothing. But there you go. That's why I'm not in charge of the movies, I guess.
That's a reason, yeah.
Certainly a factor, I would think.
Yeah. Now, back on Richard E. Grant, who's an actor I've always kind of liked, I think, since Warlock, showing my age. Where,
okay.
He just seems a nice person outside of acting as well.
Yeah. Did you have a chance to watch the little video where he's explaining how he got the part?
Yes, I did.
It's really lovely. Cool. It's so sweet. You know,
yeah.
he's so chuffed.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of those things. I think, you know, for actors, it's probably one of those things you always kind of write off as, oh, well, I'm never going to be in X. And then it happens for you. You're going to be elated, aren't you?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. And you can see it in his demeanor that he's really excited about the project.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. I do get the desire, but I think it's getting a bit over the top now.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of people are saying he's going to be some sort of Imperial officer as a foil or possibly superior to Hux. I think that would be brilliant.
That would be great.
I've heard a few rumors saying he's going to be Rey's dad. If that's the route they go down, then I think he could do a very good job of that.
Yeah. If they stick to the Kylo story where it's a pair of drunks. He can just basically get away with playing with Nell in space.
That's the Star Wars story that we need.
A long time ago in the galaxy far, far away, with Nell was there for reasons.
Yeah.
Why not, right?
Since Stranger fan fiction.
This is true.
Yeah.
I mean, if you just, even if you cut Slash out, it's, it does, and the rest of Guns N' Roses are also in there.
Yeah. But. Remember Guns N' Roses, kids?
Yeah. Well, I don't know why, but there you go.
Yeah. For our younger list, Guns N' Roses were. Yeah.
They released more than one album, and some of them were quite good.
Yeah.
So the big news of the week, which dropped predictably the day after we finished recording.
It's tradition.
It is tradition. It's a time zone thing. We are not on the news cycle time zone, but we just have to swing with it. Is that there was a trailer finally for the new animated series Star Wars Resistance?
Yes.
So it's going to be set 6 months before. It's going to start 6 months before the events of The Force Awakens.
Okay.
And I've got the bits here from the press release. Star Wars Resistance, a new animated series that takes place prior to the events of The Force Awakens, takes flight with a 1-hour premiere Sunday, October the 7th, at 10 p.m. Eastern. Eastern time. It looks like Eastern and Pacific time. On Disney Channel,
he comes in one time zone like a grown up.
On Disney Channel, Disney Now, and Disney Channel VOD, with subsequent airings on Disney XD brackets. Expect it in the UK sometime in 2026.
Pretty much.
The high-flying adventure series follows Kazuda Ziono, or Kaz.
Did that well, yeah.
A young pilot recruited by the Resistance for a top secret mission to spy on the growing threat of the First Order. Following its US debut, Star Wars Resistance will roll out globally on Disney channels worldwide some years later.
He obviously does a sterling job on that.
Yeah. In the one-hour premiere entitled The Recruit, Poe and BB-8 assign newly appointed spy Kaz to the Colossus, a massive aircraft refueling platform.
I do just have to put this out there. With this picture, he's spying on the developers of the First Order.
Yep.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say that he doesn't do a very good job on the grounds that they somehow keep secret a planet-sized weapon.
Yeah, that's true.
And I think the fact that the rest of their fleet is positioned to take every strategic position in the galaxy.
Yeah, it does seem like they haven't quite thought this through.
I'm just saying, as a spy, maybe his every action is followed by a car horn and a slide whistle.
Quite possibly. Maybe he is doing the Telltale Captain Scarlet track. That's mainly a joke for me and Brad there, but I'll have it.
Yeah. It's from another book. Yeah.
Emotionally 14 fans will have no doubt picked up on that. So, Poe and BB-8 assign newly appointed spy Kaz to the Colossus, a massive aircraft refueling platform on an outer rim water planet home to colourful new aliens, droids and creatures. Good, we need more new aliens. While undercover, Kaz works as a mechanic and lives with Poe's old friend Yeager, a veteran pilot who operates a starship repair shop run by his crew, Tam, Niku, and their old battered astromech droid, Bucket. Because you can't just have a droid with numbers anymore, they all have to have nicknames. Kaz soon finds himself in over his head with his newfound friend BB-8, as he'll have to compete in dangerous sky races, keep his mission a secret from his newfound family, and avoid the danger of the First Order. So it's quite a long... I won't go into all the voice casts, because there's quite a few of them, but the main ones that stuck out...
By the way, as a typo, it says avoid the Dengar of the First Order.
Oh, okay. Darn. So there's a few sort of notable ones that I picked up on in here. Donald Faison in Scrubs. That's where he is. That's where he was all this time. Recording this.
Who was he in Scrubs?
Chris Turk. Oh,
okay, cool. Yeah.
That's him. So there seems to be quite a few voice actors with pedigree. So Bobby Moynihan has the is behind, I believe, the DuckTales remake.
Woo-hoo.
I'm not sure. And then Oscar Isaac reprises his role as Poe Dameron. Gwendolyn Christie as Captain Phasma. And Rachel Butera as General Leia Organa, so she's going to be taking on the voice role.
Is it a bit weird that the press release has credited Oscar Isaac as Star Wars and Gwendolyn Christie as Game of Thrones in a Star Wars project?
It is somewhat of a... I feel it's somewhat telling of how well they regard Phasma's importance, which is a shame. Yeah, because Gwendolyn Christie does a bang-up job of playing a character they didn't really get behind.
I think that's the best description of it.
So renowned Lucasfilm Animation veteran Dave Filoni of the Clone Wars and Rebels fame created the series. Executive producers Athena Portillo, Justin Ridge, and Brandon Orman. Athena Portillo and Justin Ridge worked on Clone Wars and Rebels. Yep. And then Amy Beth Christensen is art director. What did you have a chance to watch the trailer?
I have seen the trailer, yes.
What did you make of it?
I didn't get a lot of sense of any of the characters in it, but I understand it is a teaser trailer and it's just there to show me that what they're doing looks cool rather than to give me any substance or
meat,
real excitement about it. Yeah. The art style was even more of a shift from Rebels and Clone Wars than I was expecting.
Yes.
Obviously, I knew it was going to be a shift, but I wasn't quite ready for it
Yeah, it almost felt like a Telltale game.
I think I certainly had like a cel-shaded vibe.
With all the blue turned up.
Yeah, there was bright. It's quite anime-vibed as well, which is obviously what the kids are doing these days. I'm not a huge anime fan in general, but I don't hate it in principle either. I wasn't overly sold on the art direction, but with the caveat, I wasn't initially sold on Clone Wars either, and that really grew on me over time. So there's a chance of this will as well. But a bit more meat before I can get overly excited about it.
Yeah, I think generally I'm with you. I did like the art style generally, but I thought it was very bright, and it didn't. It lacked a lot of it lacked a bit of definition as a result. I think it sort of The thing about cell shading is, it dates very, very well because, you know, it's very clearly defined lines. And it sounds like a strange thing, strange way to describe it, but all the cel shaded stuff I've ever seen has held up to the test of time because it's clearly well defined lines.
Yeah,
that it doesn't quite feel that way. Resistance. I don't know if it's just a problem with the video itself, as it's just too, like I say, the bloom's just up too high, or the, you know, the contrast isn't as good as it could be. But it just felt very clean. And I don't necessarily mean in a, you know, in a good way. I mean, it felt very kind of sterile as a result.
Yeah, I do know what you mean. Yeah.
But I'm optimistic. It's not primarily aimed at me, but
my ribbon aside, it is your Star Wars doodle to consume every media I put out, so it's kind of aimed at me.
Yeah, fair.
Yeah, and the initial concept I'm kind of behind, where I was giving it a bit of a ribbing just then. Mm-hmm. The concept sounds fine, and I trust the production team behind it. So I shall wait and see.
Yeah, I think, you know, my initial impressions are sort of pretty positive. It's not primarily aimed at me. It's more of a kid-centric one. But at the same time, that doesn't mean I can't give it a go. And as long as the art style, like I say, as long as it isn't that bright all the way through, as long as it's kind of a bit more clearly defined when I'm watching it, I will be willing to give it a chance. But art style is a weird one for me. Art style can make or break a project for me very, very quickly.
Okay.
Comic books are most notorious for that with me.
Mm-hmm.
I'll very easily just put a comic book down, even though I'm enjoying the story, because the art style just doesn't land. It doesn't take much.
It's not over Silent Hill yet.
No, really not. I'm really not. One last piece for this week. Zynga has signed a multi-year agreement with Disney to make a mobile game set in the Star Wars universe.
Blew my mind, because I have a local Indian takeaway called Zynga, and that was immediately what my brain assumed. I was like, wow, they've
branched out.
That's a bit of a gamble, but all right, I'll hear them out.
Diverse portfolio. Yeah. I mean, for all I know, all their waiting staff double up as top-notch developers. Who knows?
Yeah.
A lot of people have two jobs.
You get a game, you get it home, you open it up, and there's a little bag of warm onion in the disc.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm all good for that. To be honest, I'd buy more new games if that was the case. So anyway, they've agreed to make a mobile game in the Star Wars universe, and they've also agreed to take over the running of Star Wars Commander, which is the current, basically their answer to Clash of Clans,
which is currently run by EA.
No, it's directly by Disney, I think.
Okay.
So what's happening is Disney is moving away from
it's gently phasing out EA,
developing their own video games. EA have still got the license for the heavy stuff. But Disney were making their own games, and they actually did this once before. Tiny Death Star. You can't get hold of it.
That was such a good game.
It was so good, and you can't get it anymore. Yeah. But that was one that was directly made by Disney. I think that was the first game they released.
That sounds right. Yeah.
Yeah, and it was wonderful. It was so charming, and it was so silly, and it was cute.
I just loved the idea of Emperor Palpatine manning the lift.
Yeah.
Day in, day out.
I loved the fact that I had a gym that was entirely staffed by Ewoks.
Yeah. I want to go there.
Yeah, I want to go there, and I feel like I'd do well, you know. And don't get me wrong, like Tiny Tower, which is the game it's sort of modelled on. I mean, remodelled on as ripped off completely from by with permission, I believe. That's also a perfectly fine game, but it's not the same, you know.
It's not Star Wars.
No, you don't. It's one thing to have a little pop up that just pops in and says you earned this money while you're away. It's something else entirely to have a little cartoon Palpatine spin around on a chair and tell you that you earned 8 coins in the 6 seconds between switching from one app to another.
Yeah,
it was great. You know, I love that game.
All the best Star Wars video games are just reskins of already good video games.
That's kind of true. Yeah, I mean, with the exception of, I guess, KOTOR, because KOTOR wasn't really skinned on anything.
KOTOR
else,
was pretty. I'm not a big video game guy, but I'm not aware of anything else it was modeled on. No, that's true. Even like Force Awakens, not Force, but Force Unleashed, which is God of War.
Yeah, or that Devil May Cry style, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally.
There's Galactic Battlegrounds was
Age of Empires.
Age of Empires, thank you.
And it was a really good Age of Empires clone.
It really was.
It was brilliant.
I cloned it as well.
It is, yeah, exactly. And I really liked that game. I played a ton of it.
So is Zynga a developer you're familiar with?
It
outside
is.
Of here?
It is,
Andori-based activities?
They are they are most notably known for Farmville and Poker, which is why I'm kind of curious about where they're going to go with it. because, you know, that seems like a peculiar pick to me.
Yeah, I mean, they can just, they're all just developers, they can just branch out and do something else entirely, but
I've just you've got to
wonder what one on the contract, unless they just pitch something new.
They may have gone for something infinitely familiar, but they also may have pitched them something completely out of left field, you know? But Zynga, you know, Zynga are doing a lot of, they have a lot of really high, you know, really popular games under their belt. So they're not, you know, they're developers with significant pedigree when it comes to mobile gaming. So you'd, you know, you'd write them off at your peril. So don't even try it, Brad, is what I'm saying.
Well, okay.
Don't even try writing them off. But they, you know, they're the Worlds with Friends people. They're the Draw Something people, the Farmville people. Yeah, absolutely. They're, you know, they've got slot games. They've got, you know, so much stuff under their, like under their, in their catalog. The idea, I mean, to be honest, if it's like a Farmville style Star Wars game,
Moisture Farmville,
I could actually probably swing with that. You know, if it's just like, say, if it's like Tiny, if it's similar to Tiny Tower, where the pitch is, it's a game you recognize, but with Star Wars.
Yeah,
something like a Farmville with a ton of, you know, something kid friendly with a ton of charm.
I've not played Farm, but you have to give me the elevator pitch for it.
So it's like, it's sort of a, you know, it's a very, it's a casual friendly game in terms of the people it's aimed at. The objective is you, it's one of those ones where you sort of, you build, you know, you set up a farm, you plant a few crops, you go, you leave it a couple of hours, you come back, you harvest them, you sell them on, all that sort of thing. There's, you know, there's so many games, it's often imitated and scarcely duplicated, kind of. One of those games. It was really the sort of the first one to do, to hit that sort of stride in a big way. But it's, you know, I've played it and it's not usually the kind of game I'd go for. I played Farmville 2 and it's, you know, it's engaging. You find yourself, you know, it's got a little storyline running through it. So you kind of, as you're working along, you're working your way towards, you know, the sort of the grander narrative. I don't know how it, you know, how it ends. I didn't get that far. That's the only, that is the only hang up I have about it, is mobile games don't tend to hold my interest for very long before I just go bored now and delete it and move on to the next one. I think it's maybe it's a symptom of them being free.
I do know what you mean. Star Wars ones do hold my attention for longer before I kind of hit a
I'd have been all over Tiny Death Star forever if they'd left it open, but by the time I got a new, I think I got a new phone and was thinking, all right, well, let me get all my old games back on there. Oh, hang on, where's Tiny Death Star? And it had just gone with no explanation whatsoever. So they just pulled it. I don't know if it was a licensing thing or whether it was just, you know, maybe they just didn't see what they were hoping to see out of it.
Yeah.
I don't know what that was. In-app purchases, most likely.
I guess so.
Yeah, it's usually what, they, what they're interest, most interested in from people, which is fair enough. It's a business. That's how they make money. But yeah, it's, you know, it's... it's one of those announcements that I'm sure there are people who are like, oh, no, you know, it means we're going to get a terrible game. It's like, well, no, what it means is you're going to get a game that's not for you specifically, and that's okay. And also, let's be fair, even if it's not ostensibly for most Star Wars fans, I feel like if it's free, they'll download it and give it a go anyway.
Yeah.
I feel like that's, a, you know, if you've done it, you're kind of, it's a bit mad.
I've done some quick Googling. Tiny Death Star, Disney removed the game from all app stores because they wanted to take the Star Wars games in a different direction.
What, less fun?
Yeah, well, they,
apparently.
That's what gets you. Is they could have left it up.
Yeah, there's nothing stopping them,
I can't believe. No, but even if there was some sort of rental fee to Google Play or the iOS store, I can't believe that's going to put a dent in Disney's turnover.
No, exactly. You know, when, and I look at the games that are in there now, in the Star Wars game, specifically games I'm talking about.
If you're listening, Walt Disney's frozen severed head, and I've got no reason to believe you're not, because our leadership, our listenership is huge.
Yeah, this is fair.
Put Tiny Death Star back on our iOS store.
And Android. That's not just, you know. So we got, yeah, so if you look at the games available, you've got Galaxy of Heroes, which is EA's one, which is fun. You know, it's enjoyable. Star Wars Commander, which is the one that's changing hands to Zynga.
Yes.
Force Arena, which is a sort of, it's hard, I don't know what, there's a word for it. It's like a, it's a,
I can't tell you, Force Arena and Galaxy of Heroes, they look identical to me.
They play they got similar mechanics in some respects, because they got collection aspect to the heroes and the villains, but in terms of gameplay, they're very different. They're more like imagine a turn-based Street Fighter versus League of Legends. Have you played League of Legends or familiar with it?
I am aware of, yeah.
Okay. And then what else we got? A couple of Lego ones, a couple of Angry Birds. They're quite fun in a sort of tongue-in-cheek way.
It's almost like it's another video game with Star Wars chrome on top.
I know, right? Star Wars Card Trader, which is apparently excellent. I haven't played it, but I hear nothing but good things.
Everyone used to rave about it for a while. I had a go of it, and it was like trading cards without the bonus of actually having physical cards to play with.
Yeah.
So it's basically a JPEG collection.
Yeah.
It was a very strange interest that I couldn't engage with.
Yeah. And then there's Puzzle Droids, which is basically Bejeweled.
Yeah, okay.
And then there's Pinball, Star Wars Pinball for...
another genre of video games that I've never really been able to engage with, because pinball video games are huge, but never grabbed me.
Wow, there's lots of Star Wars games in early access at the moment. I'm just having a look in the in the store now, and there's loads of stuff coming soon. There's Star Wars Rivals, which looks like a competitive third-person shooter on phones. Mm-hmm. And then there's one called, this might be more up your street, I think, Rise to Power, which is more, it's a space combat real-time strategy game, apparently.
It's intriguing.
So, yeah, I'm quite intrigued by that. I'm not sure.
That sounds a bit first story as well, doesn't it?
Yeah, it doesn't quite look like you'd expect from a game called, ostensibly being called real-time strategy.
Okay.
It's interesting. I don't know. I'll investigate that, I think, because that looks interesting. Yeah. And then there's soundboards and stuff like that everywhere. And obviously there's copyright nightmares the further down you go. You scroll down to sort of page 3 or 4 and you can't imagine that Disney's just going to kick the virtual door down one day and it'll just drop off. So there you go. Zynga are going to be making Star Wars mobile games. And we will look forward to seeing what they might involve.
Yeah.
There you go. So that's the Star Wars news for the week.
Yeah.
There's been a couple of fun bits out of it.
Yeah.
Nothing, what's the word, earth-shattering. But then, like as you've rightly pointed out in previous episodes, that's going to be the case for a little while.
Yeah.
Yeah, but there you go. So thank you very much for listening to Talk Star Wars. If you've enjoyed the show and it's your first time with us, then feel free to subscribe. And you can do so through all good podcatchers and Apple Podcasts. See what I did there. If you're really into the show and you wish to become part of our Patreon community, in exchange for just $1 a month or as much as you care to give, you will receive an ad-free version of the Talk Star Wars podcast delivered 2 days early. So you get the release on a Saturday rather than the Monday, and it's just a 25 cents a week, which is, you know, a bargain by any definition. So those are the ways you can listen to the show. Obviously, you can interact with the show by messaging us on Facebook. We have a Facebook page. You can tweet us at Talk Star Wars, and you can email podcast@talkstarwars.co.uk. And there's the website, of course, talkstarwars.co.uk, hence the podcast app. Brad, where can people find you on social media between shows?
You can find me on facebook.com/BradHarmerBarnes, and you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at RealBradHB. I am on Discord, but I don't really understand it, so don't expect a lot out of me on that front.
That's fair enough.
And you can buy books from Amazon.
Yes, you can, and you can use the Amazon widget, which is actually in the show notes as well now, as well as being on the website. And that's a nice way of doing it. It gives, obviously, you get to read Brad's cracking books, and you also get to throw a couple of pennies at Talk Star Wars as a way of saying thank you for the referral. And obviously, Amazon do that to us at no extra cost to you. So you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Rob Wade Vision. Obviously, me and Brad are both part of Emotionally 14, which is also available on the web at Emotionally 14 on Twitter and emotionally14.com. And I've got a little book now as well, haven't I?
Yeah,
you can buy that on Amazon too. It's a show notes thing. It's not, you know, not as long as Brad's books, and many would argue not as good were they to have read mine. But it's, you know, the link is there, and you can feel free to take advantage of it. Thanks as always to Adam for the Talk Star Wars intro and outro. And you can check out his podcast by searching for Retro Inc. on the web and all good podcast catchers. And Retro Inc. is just one of a number of excellent Star Wars and geek podcasts in the Star Wars Commonwealth Podcast Network. So you can enjoy such great shows in addition to Talk Star Wars and Retro Inc. as The Tumbling Saber, Generation X-Wing, The Rogue Squadron Podcast, The Skyhoppers Podcast, The Nerd Room, The San Diego Sabres Radio Podcast, Tatooine Sons, Less Than 12 Parsecs, and the aforementioned Retro Inc. Head over to StarWarsCommonwealth.com to find out more and take your first steps into a larger world. Thank you very much for listening to Talk Star Wars. We'll see you again next week. May the Force be with you.